we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatments of animals.
The less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Western Canada's only radio program focusing on animal advocacy and compassionate living. Today is Friday, April the 7th, and this is 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. For the next hour, I'm your host, Jen Dobell, and I'm joined in studio today by my co-host, Allison Cole.
Hi there.
On today's show, we have a feature interview with Niagara Falls animal rights activist John Sackers. John is a full-time animal rights activist who creates hilarious and often controversial YouTube videos about abstaining from animal cruelty. Stay tuned for that interview in about 30 minutes. Allison, have you seen any of John's interviews, or sorry, YouTube videos?
Yes, well, we played the one on the show that went viral last year about language. It's about language and how and using language in terms with animal idioms. We actually played it for our show last fall, which was themed around different animal idioms in use, like calling people negative, stereotypical, like eating like a pig. And he goes, don't call someone a pig.
Right. That's or calling someone nice. A rat or a snake if they're not good people, or saying there's more than one way to skin a cat as a way of saying there's more than one way to do a task.
Yeah, so I love that song. I don't think we're playing it today. I was hoping we would, but he's got some other stuff, right? Some other gems.
He does have some good ones. It was hard for me to select videos to play today because I have so many favorites.
Oh, okay.
And some of them are more educational and other ones are funny. And then there's ones that are definitely adult only, which I would consider the more controversial ones. I have no problem with them. I'm a pretty sex positive person, so I think they're hilarious. But anyway, people have many opinions on his videos, but he's got hundreds. So check him out online. Stay tuned for the interview.
Yeah. And we should maybe post his YouTube channel online.
Absolutely. Sounds good. So it's our spring member drive. And I just wanted to take this opportunity to let you all know that our fabulous mentally stimulating programs here at CFRO Co-op Radio are put on by volunteers, which makes for a really passionate group of people who are putting out high quality content, which we don't normally hear about on other programs. There's no advertising on Co-op Radio. So I think this adds to the listener experience, but of course it puts us in a situation where we need to ask you for donations.
So please give us donations at this time during our spring member drive. Animal Voices actually has to raise, like other 1 hour programs on Co-op Radio, we have to raise $1,000 a year to stay on the air, and we really do need your support. And this year we are actually encouraging our members to and new members that too, of course, and just donors to take out a monthly sustaining membership. So membership / donorship, they're the same thing. Like, you can count those terms to be interchangeable. What it means, though, is it is a tax deductible donation. We are a registered charity here at Vancouver Co-op Radio. And so any donations you'll get a tax receipt. So what we are focusing on this year is sustaining memberships. So what that means is I get a small amount, $5 taken out of my bank account every month, and it's from Co-op Radio. I don't even notice it, really. And what that means is that we have a guaranteed income coming in from Co-op Radio every month, which helps out the stations with their finances and knowing that they have a certain amount coming in. It also helps out with human resources, knowing that we don't have to keep phoning people every year to say that your annual membership is up and needs to be renewed. I mean, we have a lot, we have to save the animals here, right? We don't have time for admin stuff like that if it can be helped. It's just so much easier if it's automatically being withdrawn from your bank account. So that's what we're asking this year. You can just sign up for that online at cooperadio.org/donate.
Even $5 or $10 a month makes a difference if we get enough people doing that. And that's something that most people wouldn't notice missing from their bank account either. And I often hear people complain that the media is biased or that they're not telling enough stories about grassroots type topics that we tend to talk a lot about here at Co-op Radio. Allison, do you have any favorite programs here at Co-op that you listen to besides ours? I know you're quite busy. Maybe you don't have time.
I actually listen to a lot of the shows at Co-op Radio because we're all volunteer run, right? And mm-hmm. it's part of our tasks to be a programmer on the air. We actually are mandated to do another couple hours of volunteer work per month, and so I sit on the programming committee here at Co-op Radio. So I get tasked with reviewing shows every month, every couple months, and that's a great way for me to see all the cool new programming that we have on the air. So a couple of my favorite shows, let me think. I'm really into the Terminal City Tales show lately, which is a show, I think you're going to be on it, Jen.
I am.
Maybe. Are you going
yes.
to? Yeah. So just so you know, we can't answer phone calls at this time, but we can take your phone call at 1 o'clock at 604-684-8494. Jen and I are the only ones here right now doing the show. So we have to talk and stay on the
exactly.
air. But yeah, Terminal City Tales, where people from located in the Vancouver area tell their stories, and they just tell really unusual, gripping tales, and they're usually around a theme. And I think, Jen, I don't know if you want to reveal what your stories are going
to
be.
I have too many to choose from. Pam asked me a couple of weeks ago, and my face actually went red just thinking about one of my stories I was about to tell her, and then I realized maybe it's a bit too risque. I have so many stories. You ask any of my good friends, and they'll say, you are the one in the group that has the most bizarre things happen to you. And we've all decided it's because of two reasons. One, I'm pretty extroverted, and two, I tend to let people into my life quite quickly. And then when you're doing animal rights activism and constantly engaging with the public, there's another way that you're meeting all kinds of characters, and lots of things are going to happen from that. So,
and speaking of lots of things happening and meeting lots of characters, that's what we here at Animal Voices get to do just via producing a show every week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like your interview with John Sackar is coming up. I'm actually really looking forward to that. And I've been able to meet so many interesting people by all the people that we've interviewed, which I have then shared with the rest of the world by broadcasting it on the air.
And then there's podcasts that we can search for.
Yeah, so you can always find our shows after podcasted at animalvoices.org and also at iTunes. And you can also listen to our live stream at cooperadio.org and our live released shows also there that are not edited and full of bloopers. If you ever want to hear, we always edit down our podcasts to make them as perfect as possible after, just FYI. But I know there's at least one person out there, John, who says he likes to hear our bloopers in the original podcast.
Who's that, John Burgess?
Yes. Hi, John. Shout out to John. He's actually one of our biggest supporters, so thank you for being a member and helping, being one of the people that keeps Vancouver, Animal Voices Vancouver, on the air.
And John is a very dedicated animal rights activist, currently mainly involved in the SAVE movement. And for those of you who don't know what that is, we talk about that a lot on the show. The SAVE movement is where animal rights activists are bearing witness to animals on their way to slaughter, typically at the slaughterhouses. They're greeting the trucks as they come in and often giving water to the animals who've been transported for up to 72 hours, sometimes with no food or water, and are about to experience the most fearful moment of their lives that have already been full of fear. And they document this and they put it out on YouTube. And this just reminds me why I love working on this show, because this isn't the kind of thing that you're going to see on your nightly news channel
on
typical radio stations.
It gets covered once or twice here or there. The mm-hmm. Anita Crines trial has been covered, but we've had her on the show a couple times to really give her side of the story of what's happening, which is not so much given in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. We're alternative media. We're community media, and we really do give a voice to those who normally wouldn't get a voice in the mainstream media, especially what comes to mind is all the aquarium coverage we've been doing lately with activism against the Vancouver Aquarium. You don't hear a lot of that. The mainstream media isn't covering a lot of that, I have to say. And specifically you, Jen, have done just amazing coverage of aquarium stuff that's been, I mean, I think we're going to have a little bit of it today as well, but I think it's so important to cover those local issues, especially from the alternative side that we've been covering from.
Exactly. And, you know, speaking of the Vancouver Aquarium, I'm often out there doing advocacy work. And when we do have news cameras from every main media station, I'm watching their interviews from, you know, from behind yeah. the camera person. And I know what was said to the camera. And then when I watch the news later that night, of course, it's all edited down.
You see the creative
and the true
editing.
Message is not really mm-hmm. getting out. And then when I engage with the public in advocacy work on this topic, they've got the message completely wrong. And it frustrates me.
And you know the real side.
I know the real
side.
And
you bring it here to Animal Voices.
I don't have enough time in yeah. my life to get the truth out to all the people to make that difference for the animals that are in captivity. And that's so frustrating.
That's why we need a show every week.
We do. And I wish we had more. It's 1 hour a week. And, you know, the only good thing about the fact that it's only 1 hour a week is that at least we do put the podcast up later. And that can be widely shared on social media. And I encourage anyone to check out our website, animalvoices.org. In the search bar, you can look up any animal-related topic that interests you, and you will have a 1 hour long fascinating show.
We have archives going back to 2010. I started working on this show in 2009, and then we started to slowly podcast the shows like shortly after that. Mm-hmm. So that's 7 years of podcasts that you could be listening to nonstop, as my sister Leanna Picard has been doing. And she actually just sent me a text this morning saying, oh, that was a really interesting to hear how activist Josh Harper used how his time in prison was. He was one of the Shack Seven that was taken to prison and as an animal rights activist in the States. And I thought, wow, that was an oldie but a goodie. Thank you, Leanna, for your support. She'll be listening to this as well, and I'm sure she'll renew her membership as well, as she does every year. So yeah, like, we have such a wide range and array of information. As Jen said, type in anything into our animalvoices.org search bar, and there's something for everyone. We even did our first ever rat appreciation show last week. So there really is something for everyone.
We had rats in the studio last week, and
well,
I missed it.
We had a rat, and you did miss it. It was so great.
I think I've cuddled with that same one anyway. I've had it on my shoulder. They're rescued lab rats, right?
Wasn't a lab rat.
Oh, that
no.
wasn't the one.
Yeah,
okay.
But yeah, anyways, it was quite an experience. If you want to check out the group photo, it's at our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. And once again, please make a donation at cooperatio.org/donate and indicate that you're making it to Animal Voices. You can also call us at 1 p.m. at 604-684-8494. Thank you in advance for your support.
Guys, I just dropped in the 6 months of monthly sustainers into our spring member drive total.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was $18,526.
That's wow. fantastic.
I know. And that's exactly why we're asking people during this member drive on now till Sunday, April 9th at midnight, to become sustainers. If you are a new member, just become a sustainer right away.
What does that mean? What's a sustainer?
A sustainer is somebody who gives a monthly contribution.
And how do they go about doing that?
They call 604-684-8494, and I can set it up either on credit card or on their bank account.
And what's that number again?
604-684-8494. They can also go, if they want to do it by their credit card, to cooperadio.org, click on the donate button, and choose monthly for their giving frequency.
How much can I donate? Is there a minimum or a maximum?
$5, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25, $30, $35, $40, $40. Some people give $120. Most people can afford $5 a month, and it's the thing that helps Co-op Radio the most.
So I set it up once, and then I can just forget about it.
Fantastic.
So now for some news. So people seeking fur goods in Berkeley, California will have to get them secondhand following a council vote Tuesday on a fur ban designed to promote community awareness of animal welfare. Councilwoman Sophie Han made a substitution motion to allow the sale of cowhide with hair and sheep or lamb skin with fleece. Han said those animals are already raised for meat and their hide can be important alternatives for young families trying to avoid synthetic products. And in other news out of Berkeley, the city has dropped its effort to evict an animal rights group, Direct Action Everywhere, over yoga and other team-building exercises that officials had deemed to constitute lease violations. In September, the group received a 30-day notice to cure or quit from Burke, Williams, and Sorensen, LLP, outside attorneys for the city. The notice proclaimed the group in default of lease for using the premises intended as office space and supporting retail for unauthorized uses such as communal work area, meeting location, event space, yoga studio, and art gallery. Berkeley ARC volunteers countered that the yoga sessions, or actually simple calisthenics and stretching exercises, help morale and health and are the common practice of many organizations and businesses, according to a report from Worthington. The amended lease allows incidental uses including speaker series, film screenings, volunteer recruitment and appreciation parties, trainings, art exhibits, and art auctions, team building activities such as exercise within occupancy limits as determined by the fire department. I actually know these people in Berkeley, and I'm sure you are friends with them on Facebook at the very least, Allison, if you're not friends with them, the Direct Action Everywhere group.
Yeah, for sure.
And we've had some of them on the show quite a few times. I think that's just such a silly story that they were trying to evict somebody over doing yoga and having educational events. Anyway, and other news, this is very exciting. In Canada, public hearings on Bill S-203 took place this week, the aim of which is to end the practice of keeping whales, dolphins, and porpoises in captivity in Canada and protect them from suffering the physical and psychological harms caused by the spending their lives in a concrete tank. A cetacean biologist with the U.S.-based Animal Welfare Institute, who's been studying whales and dolphins for 25 years, Dr. Naomi Rose, came before the Standing Senate Committee on Fisheries and Oceans and had this to say. When it comes to educating people about sea life and inspiring conservation, aquariums and marine parks are unhelpful to the extreme. Although facilities have long touted their educational role and insisted people only protect what they know and have seen up close, Rose disagreed. If this is true, that means there are an awful lot of species doomed for extinction. Humpback whales are not held in captivity, but they are loved and they are recovering. To say you need to see the living animal and touch it is just not true, and thankfully so. In fact, she said, many of these facilities present their patrons with false information about the lives and habits of whales and dolphins. She said, on everything from how far whales and dolphins can swim to how deep they can dive. I can tell you a lot of these facilities, Marineland in particular, what you're hearing about these animals once you're inside the gate is almost all incorrect, Rose said. Allison, do you recall the video footage taken at the Vancouver Park Board meeting last month where John Nightingale, who is a biologist and the CEO of the Vancouver Aquarium, could not answer a simple question about how far and deep belugas swim in the wild?
I did see that.
It was so funny. And then a Park Board commissioner actually had to tell him that they swim up to 700 meters deep, and then followed that up with a question to John, how deep will the expanded tanks be? And do you remember the answer?
I don't think there was an answer, was
there? 7 meters. He stammered for a while and said, oh, well, when we expand them.
10%. Oh, my.
Animal rights activists have been encouraging the Vancouver Aquarium to invest in the whale sanctuary project rather than tank expansions so that current captive cetaceans and future rescued cetaceans can live in ocean sanctuaries rather than tiny swimming pools, which do not accurately represent their natural habitat. And let's also think about their echolocation, bouncing off concrete walls. You can imagine that would just make somebody insane. So we're lucky enough to have a recording of Dr. Naomi Rose at the Senate meeting this week, and let's listen to that now.
Activity on marine biological communities. We know your position, Dr. Rose. Is there controversy within the scientific community vis-a-vis this issue, or the related issue of the educational value, if you choose to go further, or is there to what degree is there a consensus or a large degree of consensus? Could you map the state of your colleagues' views on this for us, please?
That's a fantastic question. Thank you very much for it. Yes, there's controversy. My field is very young. The field of cetacean biology, where we were actually studying the whole animal, only started in the 1950s. It's a very young field. Prior to that, as you might remember from history, You caught a whale, you hauled it up on deck, and you cut it open, and that's how you studied it. Actually, studying them in situ alive just wasn't done prior to the 1950s. Some of the seminal, you know, scientists who founded this field studying the whole animal, some of them are still alive, but a lot of them only died very recently. I knew many of them. One of them was one of my mentors. He co-founded SeaWorld. So in the 1950s and 1960s, the scientific community felt that if you wanted to really get up close to a whole animal that was alive, you had to put it in a tank. And that's what they did. And they did start studying them in captivity in those days. And what they learned was to really get at what this animal is, you had to go out into the field. And the very same man who co-founded SeaWorld pioneered field work, because he realized that if you really wanted to know what a dolphin was, he had to get out into the field with it. And he pioneered the techniques for doing that. This is Dr. Kenneth Norris. All right. He died in 1994. I started in 1985. I knew him for 9 years. All right. It makes it very difficult for our community, our scientific community, to sort of disrespect our elders. And so it is extremely controversial. And even so, even though there's a history of respecting the giants in our field who study these animals in concrete tanks back in the 50s and 60s, even so, our community is coming around to the consensus, as you put it, that yes, what you see in a tank is not actually an accurate avatar of a real whale or a dolphin. And if you really want to know what they're like, you have to go into the field. Hence, the aggressive development of new technologies. Remotely operated vehicles, drones, tags, I mentioned them earlier. That the drive to develop that technology is because we are reluctantly, and I say reluctantly because we feel like we're disrespecting our elders, coming around to the agreement that the future of cetacean science is in the field. And I actually don't feel it's disrespecting them, because they didn't know. Science is learning. Science is always growing. Science is always developing new knowledge. We are not static. If it was okay in 1950, that doesn't mean it's okay in 2017. If it was the only way to do it in 1950, I sure hope it's not the only way to do it in 2017. I hope we've developed new ways to do whatever it is. And in this case, it's studying cetaceans. So the future of cetacean science is in the wild, and that's because when they're in a concrete tank, they really aren't representative. They don't hear the same way. They don't behave the same way. They don't contract diseases the same way. If we really want to understand why we're having die-offs along the Atlantic coast of bottlenose dolphins, we're not going to learn it solely by studying them in concrete tanks. Those studies can help, but they're not going to give us an accurate picture of what these animals are actually like when they're dealing with disease. So a growing number of scientists, well-respected current giants in the field, are coming around to the way of thinking that welfare is compromised in captivity, and that there are better ways of studying these animals than putting them in captivity. It does not mean that some good science is not being done in captivity. Some good science is still being done in captivity. Our goal in my community is to provide those opportunities in a more natural environment so that those animals do represent more accurately what the animals are like in the wild.
Thank you very much.
So speaking of the topic of whales in captivity, join activists tomorrow from 12 to 4:30 p.m. at the Vancouver Aquarium. Come and talk to some animal rights activists who would like to educate you about what their goals are. The goal is to educate the public about their position on the current and future fate of captive and rescued animals, and to inform the public about the option of sea sanctuaries for these sentient beings. With the Vancouver Aquarium pushing a manipulative and misleading narrative that states cetaceans will be euthanized as a result of their not being able to specifically display them for profit, we encourage them to respect the ban on cetacean captivity proposed by the Park Board. The aquarium is only being asked to do better and stop exploiting animals needlessly in the name of, quote, research that is not really sought after to begin with from the scientific community, nor is it helpful in the eyes of cetacean experts, as discussed in Senate hearings this week, which we just heard from. To threaten to kill more whales because the aquarium can't profit from them is a serious tactic, and this needs to be clarified. Activists would like the aquarium to move toward industry-leading research and rescue practices with a focus on animals first across all species, regardless of their origin. If you do plan on taking in cetaceans as a sanctuary or rehab center, do so with an unbiased advisory board. The aquarium has lost the right to decide solely and should never have had it to begin with. 5 of 6 of the last beluga deaths being unexplained, 9 of 10 captive-born belugas dead before the age of 3, a failed orca breeding program, an off-site breeding partnership with SeaWorld that has helped the total number of Vancouver Aquarium-owned belugas climb to 16 in a decade. Activists question how the aquarium can position themselves as moral leaders with such questionable practices and while taking funding from corporations which pollute the oceans and land and harm animals, mining, oil, and gas companies. John Nightingale has previously stated that the facility would be fine with or without captivity, so accept and respect the ban and use all your many resources to become the leaders you thus far are only pretending to be. We will continue to show up there and peacefully stand against the needless cruelty and harmful fallacy. Please come and meet us and have talks with us tomorrow from 12 to 4:30. We look forward to seeing you there. Another event, The Very Good Butchers, a new vegan shop from Victoria, BC, is having a pop-up shop in Vancouver today. Today until Sunday from 9 to 5 at the Homestead Junction, 649 East Hastings Street. The grand opening in Victoria was a complete success and they sold out of almost everything on the first day. If you can't give up meat, but you don't want to hurt animals, please check this out. There are vegan alternatives out there and you might just fall in love with them. At the same location from 3 to 4 on Sunday, learn how to make plant-based cheese with author Karen McCaffey. And on Tuesday, April the 11th, from 7 to 10 p.m. at Zend Conscious Lounge, 1130 Main Street in Yaletown, learn about optimizing your vegan diet. Get answers to all the common questions about veganism, where to obtain B12, iron, protein, and other nutrients. Dinner is at 6 p.m. The talk starts at 7. Info at #ZendTalks or find the event on Facebook under Zend Talk. If you have an animal-friendly event to announce, please email us at radioanimalvoices.org. And now we're going to play a YouTube video recording from John Sackers just prior to our interview with him. And there's a swear in the title, so I'm just going to say it's called Things Meat Eaters Say. And this is a little bit of a play on the videos that are already out there on YouTube called Things That Vegans Say. So it's just sort of mocking the meat eaters back. And let's listen to that now.
Take the meat out. The more you vegans whine, the more I can't wait to chomp on some prime rib. How much cheese can there be in dressing? Just eat it. When are you going to start eating like a normal person again? I'm not watching that. I don't want to see animals suffer. I only eat happy meats. Dogs and cats are pets because they have personalities. I'm not telling you to eat meat. Don't tell me not to eat meat. What about the Aboriginals? They've been eating meat for thousands of years. You have no right to tell the Aboriginals what to eat. We're omnivores. Our teeth were designed for plants and meat. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna eat tree bark and grass for the rest of my life. Get real. If you love animals so much, why do you eat all their food? I'm against abortion. I believe in the sanctity of life. My food shits on your food. Did you know that protein in meat was the primary cause of brain development in Homo sapiens? I'm constipated again. We'd all still be Neanderthals if not for protein. You can try some of my food. I won't tell anyone. Animals eat each other all the time. I suppose you want all the sharks to go vegan too. Well, I guess cheetahs are murderers too then. Better throw all the cheetahs in prison. Circle of life, huh? I rarely eat meat. Looking at this, suddenly I have a craving for chicken. What do you feed your cat? You feed her meat, don't you? You're a hypocrite. I have a friend who can't afford food, so he has to hunt or he'll starve to death. Would you rather he starve to death? Oh, nice person you are, wanting people to starve to death. Humans are carnivores. You cannot take away our carnivorous instinct. I don't have time to be a vegan.
Oyster? Pearls come from oysters.
I hate animal cruelty. But meat is so delicious. I respect your decision to eat tofu. You should respect my decision to eat meat. Come on, you secretly eat meat, don't you? But you eat fish. Fish don't feel pain. Jesus ate fish. Can vegans eat peanuts? Great. I'm glad there's blood and pus in milk. Makes it nice and thick. I love my meat rare. I love eating it straight off the bone. Animals don't have souls, you dimwit. Genesis 9:3. Everything that lives and moves about shall be food for you. You don't know what you're missing. Veganism is sexist because women need the iron they lose while menstruating. My grandmother ate meat and she lived to be 120 years old. I support your cause, but I could never go vegan. What if you came across a freshly killed animal in the wild that no one was eating? Maybe adults can be vegans, but children need proper nutrition. If we all stopped eating animal products, the animals would have no reason to live. No one's looking. Just try it. You're right. I'm just a sheeple. I don't think for myself. I just eat what 99% of the population eats. I know a vegan, and she looks very unhealthy. If you want to be a vegan, guess what? No more swallowing semen. It's animal protein. Why don't you eat honey? Bees aren't animals. They're insects. Do you know how much water is used to wash all the plants you eat? Factory farms keep the animals safe. Do you know how long a chicken will last out in the wild? What if you were starving in the woods? I would be a vegan, but I don't like tofu. If we stop eating farm animals, they'll go extinct. I love eating bloody dead animals because I am an ignorant meat eater. Do you drive a car? Hypocrite! What if the eggs came from chickens you rescued? They use the whole cow. None of it goes to waste. You want us to climb down the food chain. Might as well give away all your clothes, too, and go live in the woods. Vegan is French for pain in the ass. Animal rights. What's next? Insect rights? It's okay to do these things to animals because they don't know any different. Because of you, I am now using every part of the turkey. None of it goes to waste. You know what? I think it's awesome that you are a vegan. Good for you. You are an amazing person. You think too much. Just eat it. Have fun eating supplements for the rest of your life. If we all went vegan, we'd eat all the plants, and plants produce oxygen, so we'd all die from oxygen deprivation. If we didn't breed these animals, they wouldn't have lived at all. I was thinking of becoming a vegan until I met you. I would love to see you try to tell a mountain lion that he can't eat meat anymore. Your food can't taste good. There's no meat or cheese in it. I love and respect all living creatures. I would do anything for an animal, but I eat animals. I don't feel good about it, but it's natural. Vegans hate farmers. Vegans want to put all farmers out of work. If you don't eat meat, climate change is your fault because cows produce methane. Cows give milk naturally. They enjoy giving us their milk. That's what they're here for. Oh, everything creates pollution. I wish I had your willpower. Vegans are hypocrites because animals get killed by the combines harvesting plants. I only buy free-range eggs. Oh, everything's bad for you. I'm gonna enjoy life. You can't touch your boyfriend's sausage anymore. Vegans are evil because plants can't run away. You've been brainwashed by PETA. Me going vegan isn't going to save any animals. The animals are still going to die. We're killing animals just by breathing. I couldn't eat salad all the time. I'm going to eat an extra steak tomorrow, just for you. I don't like vegetables. There are so many bigger problems in the world. Eating meat is a family tradition. Poor rural people eat meat out of necessity. All vegans are elitist snobs. But it's already dead. Beans make me gassy. This is my home, and I have a right to eat whatever I want. It's survival of the fittest. We eat the animals, or the animals eat us. Vegan food is worse. It comes from overseas. Meat comes from our country. I didn't work my way to the top of the food chain so I could eat salad. Not even if someone else kills it for you? Real men eat meat. I can't be vegan because I'm hypoglycemic. There's no difference between eating a chicken and a carrot. It's all just atoms, electrons, and neutrons and stuff. Never met an animal I didn't like. I only eat organic meats. Veganism is purely experimental. Oh, you're one of those vegans who uses emotion over logic. So
I just love that video. And actually, it's approximately 10 minutes long. And we just
that
played
was a lot.
6 minutes of it. So check it out.
He just keeps going one after the other after the other.
Yeah. And it's funny if you watch the YouTube video because you get to see him acting out those people. I mean, it still plays well on the radio, but definitely check him out on YouTube, John Sackers. And speaking of John, let's play my interview with him now. Today I'm speaking with one of my favorite animal rights activists, John Sackers. He's a 46-year-old from Niagara Falls, and thank you so much for being here with us today, John.
Thank you very much, Jen. Nice to be here.
And we haven't actually met in person yet, but we're both Facebook friends, and I'm such a fan of all of the videos that you post, and you're really active in social media. You're always expressing your opinion, and your music videos are hilarious. Do you want to explain what your music videos are about for those who haven't heard?
They could just find me on YouTube, John Sakar, S-A-K-A-R-S. And I think it was 2009, my brother Derek, he had a video camera that he got bored of, and he said, "Hey, John, want to buy it? I'll sell it to you for half price." And I said at first, "What the heck would I do with a video camera?" And he said, "Well, just borrow it and see what you like and see if you like it." And so I used to play drums in bands, and so I'm a big music fan. And I play a little bit of guitar, but I just was very passionate about veganism, animal rights. And so that's what my songs are mainly about. But I address other social justice issues as well. And I try to throw in some comedy and try to be entertaining and plant vegan seeds in a variety of ways. So some are serious, some are funny, and they're for all ages. Some are for kids and some are more for adults.
There's definitely some that are more for adults, because in thinking about which ones I wanted to put on our website, I did think of my favorite ones, which were definitely the adult ones. What's the one that you recently made where you're in the bathtub and you're singing about how you don't have sex anymore? What's the name of that song?
Oh yeah, I make so many songs. Sometimes I have trouble remembering the names. It's been a long time since I've
got laid.
Oh my gosh,
I think it's a long time since you got laid.
Myself.
So
been a long time since I got laid. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah. Since we can't post this online, I will ask our listeners to check that one out on YouTube. It's really funny. And you do sing a lot of songs from the bathtub, which I also love.
Yeah, I like to try and multitask. And, you know, why just take a bath when you can take a bath and make a music video at the same time?
With your guitar.
Yeah. Well, that's there for, to make the music with, and also to cover my, middle area with, because YouTube might not allow it if I didn't have the guitar covering my mid section. Yeah,
cover that cucumber, right.
Yes.
So how long have you been vegan?
I went vegan in 1998 after reading a book called Old MacDonald's Factory Farm. A coworker of mine at the time said, "Hey, John, did you know that eating meat isn't good for you?" So I went to the library to look it up, and I saw that book, Old MacDonald's Factory Farm, and I learned about all the cruelty behind animal products. And then I stopped eating animals right away, but I just wanted to I think it took me about a month to learn about all about proper vegan nutrition, and to learn that I didn't need any egg or dairy products at all. So it took me about a month to progress into veganism. Yeah.
Okay. And then when did you go into activism?
Well, just a short while of being vegan, I remember writing a letter to the editor of the local newspaper, and I got some shirts with vegan messages, and I'd have conversations with people a lot, but I didn't get really heavily into activism until 2008. I was online and I wanted to find a place where I could order leaflets. So I saw vegan outreach and I ordered some leaflets. Then I saw they had a program called Adopt a College, where you go to a high school or a college, a university, and hand out leaflets to the students. So there was a high school just down the street from me. So I went there, handed out, I think, 50 leaflets. Then I went on, I submitted my report to vegan outreach, and I got a whole bunch of messages back saying, "Thanks for doing that, John. Great work." So that inspired me to keep on going. So I ordered more leaflets. I went to Niagara College and Brock University. And then in 2011, a leafletter named Vic Shadeen from the U.S. came to Canada. And I went on a six-week leafletting tour with him around Ontario, Quebec, upstate New York. And that introduced me to the road warrior life. And so now I've gone on leafletting tours with some activists. Just as a volunteer, I do all my work as a volunteer. And so I've leafleted all around, Ontario, Quebec, upstate New York, and then the southern part of the U.S., like around from Florida all the way down to California. And I even leafleted in Australia a few years ago. And so, yeah, it was in 2008 where I got more heavily into activism. And I like to do more than just make videos and handle leaflets. I also participate in whatever anyone's doing. I'm up for anything, Marches. There's a really awesome event, the Toronto March to Close Down All Slaughterhouses, on June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
We're having one here in Vancouver as well, and we had it last year, I think, for the first time. But the one in Toronto was huge. I was so impressed.
Yeah, I think last year there were around 1,000 marchers.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Again, we really did take over the streets and got a lot of attention. Speaking of all the traveling you've done, you just got back recently from 5 months of some traveling and doing some more animal rights work. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you were doing?
Sure. On November 9th, I flew to San Francisco, and I spent a few weeks with friends Dan and Diane. They're in some of my videos. I have one. It's called Animals Are Innocent, Dopey Speciesist. And so that's one video. That's for all ages, where Dan and Diane are in there rapping with me. And so I spent a few weeks with them and did activism in the Bay Area. There's a group that Diane's very active with called Direct Action Everywhere, DXC.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very strong DXC community in the Bay Area, especially in Berkeley, California. That's where the Animal Rights Center is. And so I enjoyed visiting that center and doing activism there. Then I went down to the LA area and I stayed with Vic Shadin, who I went on that leafleting tour with in 2011. I stayed with him, and then a leafleter from the Bay Area, Steve Earlston, he came down. So I leafleted with him 5 days a week for 4 weeks. And he's a really great leafleter. He's fantastic at speaking with security, because sometimes the college will have a rule that we have to stick to the free speech area. But then he would explain to them, he would say, in light of recent court cases have reaffirmed freedom of speech laws, and we're allowed to be anywhere the students are allowed to be as long as we don't impede the flow of traffic. And so he'd explain free speech rules to them, and then, you know, got us the okay to stay there. So that was really great. And then from LA, I went to Chicago, and I stayed with some activist friends in Chicago, and they're musicians too. And so we made some songs. But I spent a month in Toronto, cat sitting for some people, and I enjoyed that and doing activism there too in Toronto.
So you've been really fortunate, it seems, to be able to not have to work a paid job so that you're able to do activism full time. And I guess you have a lot of kind people in your life who let you stay with them and cook you meals so that you can do this. And I'm sure it's a win for them as well, because if they weren't working their jobs, I'm sure they would want to be out there speaking for the animals. And it probably gives them some comfort knowing that you are able to do that, right?
Yeah, it feels like a win to me. I try to help out as much as I can. And my last four jobs, I worked as a hotel room attendant in Niagara Falls, because there's lots of hotels here and it's busy in the summer. The last time I did that, actually, at the end of August of this year, it'll be 3 years since I worked at a job. So I've been very lucky to have, so many people willing to let me stay with them. I have siblings here in Niagara Falls who I couch surfed with, and I have nieces and nephews. And the parents, actually, they like having me visit, because then I play with the kids and I keep them occupied, and it gives them a break. And I help doing housework and, you know, painting, whatever I can help with.
It's perfect.
And I bounce back and forth. I go to Toronto quite often to do activism there.
What kind of activism have you got going on in Toronto?
Vegan outreach and leafleting. And then it's just a really fantastic AR community in Toronto. So I just go on Facebook and I look up what events are happening, and there's always something going on, a march or, there was lots of fur protests for the winter. Unfortunately, we have those, especially Canada Goose, you know, we see all those coats with lots of fur trim. So there's lots of fur protests going on in Toronto in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been watching those videos, and we have as many probably Canada Goose jackets here in Vancouver as well. And not that there's ever a necessity for fur or down, but I would say in Vancouver it seems even more ridiculous that people are wearing these, especially in such a rainy climate. Do you do any fur activism? I don't think I've seen videos of you doing that.
Fur activism?
Yeah. Do you approach people in fur and have talks with them?
Yeah, I should do that. I haven't done that yet. I will do that. You're inspiring me to start doing that.
I would be curious to see how that would go, because I find you to be one of the more positive activists, and it can be almost always a negative interaction when you have a discussion about fur. And it would be interesting to see how people might respond to you as opposed to somebody else. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I have definitely approached people and spoken with them. I just didn't happen to film it, but I should do that, because then other people can learn how to approach them. And I'll do it very nicely and, you know, excuse me. And I noticed that you have fur trim on your coat, and said, you know, how these animals are abused, how they get caught in traps and fur farms, and you know, get skinned alive or anally electrocuted. And I've had people, they'll listen, and sometimes they'll take a leaflet or you know, a little postcard. Yeah, so it's always positive.
Yeah, you are really good that way. And I know some people pretend not to be bothered by negative comments, but you seem completely sincere when you're responding to negative comments. You had a YouTube video recently where you were reading basically mean tweets from people, and you just made a funny, positive video about it and kind of sent love back to those people. Can you tell us a bit about why that's your strategy and some experiences you've had with that?
Yeah, well, I mentioned not working at a regular job for a long time, and I really appreciate having free time to do what I want to do. I saw a TED Talk by a guy named Mark Boyle, and he's dubbed the moneyless man because he lives without money. And he says that money has replaced community for our security. So I want to get back to having a strong community. So I try to live my life where I dream of a world where we're all friends. So I think of all of my fellow Earthlings as being my friends. So that's why I want to always be nice to everyone and treat them as a friend, so that eventually we can have a world where we just share everything and there's no more competing against each other. We all get along. And so that's the world I want to live in. And you know the Gandhi quote, be the change you wish to see in the world. So yeah, I want a world where we're all nice to each other. So I strive to be nice to everyone. And with the comments I get, I find it easy to be nice to them in return and, you know, kill them with kindness, as they say, because I think to myself, hurt people. So if someone is writing a hurtful comment, maybe they got hurt. Maybe they don't like their job. Maybe they had an argument with their parents or someone bullied them at school. Could be any number of things. So I always try to be nice to them in return.
Well, that's awesome. And speaking of that, before we started this recording, you were quoting something from the beginning of the Earthlings documentary in regards to this. How does that go again?
Yeah, at the beginning of the film Earthlings, which you can see online for free, they talk about the three stages of truth: ridicule, violent opposition, and acceptance. So again, if someone's, you know, ridiculing me, I think to myself, you know, you're on the path towards acceptance. And so, yeah, I don't mind that.
Mm-hmm. I have to remember that. I forget that sometimes.
Yeah. And yeah, there was recently someone who wrote a comment under one of my videos and said, I just wanted to let you know I've decided to be vegan, but I still don't like you. And so, you know, that shows, you know, that, you know, even if a person doesn't like you, you know, you can still be planting vegan seeds.
Absolutely. And who couldn't like you? I mean, even if someone says they don't, I don't believe them. You're very lovable, and I'm so grateful for what you do.
Oh, thank you very much. So you're lovable too.
Thank you. And where can our listeners who maybe haven't heard of you find all of your fabulous YouTube videos?
Well, I have a unique name. I've never heard of anyone else in the world named John Sakar. So if you go on YouTube, it's easy to find me. Just JohnSakars. And yeah, they're all up there, and there's hundreds of videos. And they're all pretty different, I think. So if you see one or two and you don't like them, you know, feel free to maybe keep searching and you might find some you do like.
Well, one of my favorite ones is the SHIT that meat eaters say.
That one was filmed in Vancouver, that's where you are right now, right in Vancouver.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Now yeah, I visited Vancouver several years ago and I saw a video called Shit Vegans Say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wildly popular. So I thought, hey, you know, I could make a video of Shit Meat Eaters Say, because I've been vegan. I've certainly heard many different lines, you know, like, you know, God put animals here for us to eat and all these different things. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you get your protein? So I wanted to make a list of all those.
Well, I actually recently sent that to a friend of mine that I just veganized, because I figure he's probably at the stage now, after being vegan for about a month, that he started to hear most of these comments, and he definitely was able to laugh at them, and that shows me that he has heard these comments, because you don't get that video unless you've gone vegan and have heard those excuses, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it helps too. It helps non-vegans to hear. A lot of times they'll say something and they think they're being funny and original, like, for every animal you don't eat, I'm going to eat three. And then they hear my video and they hear all these lines have already been said before. Mm-hmm. And they can realize that, you know, they weren't as being as clever and original as they thought they were.
Yeah, it's good. We do get tired of it, and all it is really is ridiculing animal abuse, which none of us truly believe in our hearts is funny. It's just a defensive response for sure.
Yeah, as vegans, all we're trying to do is get, you know, other people to live the values that they already have. They already have the same values that we do. Like, you know, if they saw an injured bird in their backyard, they might very well get a little cardboard box and help the bird and try to find a wildlife rehabilitator. Or if they saw a worm on the sidewalk, they might, you know, go out of the way to not step on the worm, or they might even help the worm onto the grass. So they already believe that we should be kind to animals. They just need to make their actions in line with their values. And, you know, a lot of people, they have this old, happy little, the story, old MacDonald had a farm, and they think of all the free range and animals being nicely treated, but it's not, that's not the case in modern farming.
And even if they are getting their animals from some local farmer, the slaughterhouses are all the same, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah. In the end, all of it involves taking the life of someone who doesn't want to die. Stopping their heart from beating. And we don't need to do that. We can eat plant foods.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, John. And I think I'll select a video to play on the radio for our guests. And hopefully everybody checks you out on YouTube. That's John Sackers. It's S-A-K-A-R-S. And
yes.
You're off for dinner now with your family, are you?
Yeah, going to see my sister. Because I was traveling for 5 months, I haven't seen my family in quite a while, so I'm staying with my brother right now, and then I'm going to go visit my sister and my nephews, and then I have nieces too, and I'm the only vegan in my family. Everyone in my family still eats animals, but they're all still very nice, and they're actually eating more vegan meals. The last 2 nights in a row, hanging out with my brother, we ate vegan meals, so I'm helping to show them how
Well, I'm glad you're inspiring them, and best of luck with that, and I hope they've got some nice vegan food for you tonight.
Thank you very much. I wish you the best of luck with everything too, Jen.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, talk soon.
Okay, love to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, love to you too. Bye.
And now I just want to play one more YouTube video from John. And this is definitely one that you want to look up and watch the video that he made. But the song is very funny. It's called "I Would Do Anything to Make You Go Vegan." Enjoy.
I would do anything to get you to go vegan. I would do anything to get you to stop eating corpses and secretions from my animal friends. I'll try not to be too emotional. I don't want to get too sappy. But if it would make you go vegan, I'd even hurt Mr. Happy. I would hit my prick with a stick. I would smash my cock with a rock. I would whip my thing with some string. I would choke my dong with a thong. I would torture my penis no matter how much it begs if you would stop eating meat, dairy, and eggs. I would poke my dinky with my pinky. I would burn my peter with a heater. I would stab my peepee with a teepee. I would bury my rod under a piece of sod. I'd send my penis to Venus on a rocket ship if you would stop putting corpses between your lips. I would stretch my bone around a corner. I would scare my post with a ghost. I would tickle my whaley with a lily. I would throw a checker at my pecker. I'd get Mr. Harry drunk off sherry if it would make you stop consuming dairy. I'd squish my man's leg with a beer keg if it would make you stop eating eggs. I'd attack my wanted snake with a rake if it would make you stop eating steak. I would do nasty things to my genitals if it would make you stop hurting animals. I'd do anything to get you to go vegan. I would do anything to get you to go vegan. Don't make me hurt Mr. Happy. Don't make me hurt Mr. Happy. Go vegan. Go vegan.
You have been listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM CFRO Co-op Radio in Vancouver, Canada. Please join us on our next show, which will be next Friday, April the 14th. Sinead will be producing that show. We will have Laura Lee Shaw on the show. She's the president of the Animal Anti what was it? The Animal Defense Anti-Vivisection Society, and she'll be speaking to us about lab animal liberation and her work with Stop UVC Animal Research. We will also have local activist Megan Beatty on the show. We were speaking earlier about the Surrey Chicken Save vigils and movement that happens. Well, Megan is the head of the Vancouver Chicken Save movement here, which is actually occurs just down the street, and she will be talking to us about that live in the studio. So I'm looking forward to that. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Animalvoices.org is where you can stream shows or download the shows as podcasts. You can read our show blog with detailed links and subscribe to us also via iTunes. Stay in touch with us via our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. And you can join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. So again, I just wanted to remind everyone that it is our annual spring member drive right now here at Co-op Radio. And if you appreciate the programming that we bring you here every Friday live on the air to really convey a variety of information about all kinds of animal advocacy issues and living the vegan lifestyle, if you do appreciate that, we ask you for your contributions at this time because we do need your donations to keep Animal Voices on the air. You can give us a call in about 5 minutes at 604-684-8494. And Jen will take your phone calls, or you can give us an online donation at coopradio.org/donate. And remember, once again, we are encouraging people to take out sustaining memberships, which means that you just have some money, as little or as much as you want, taken out of your bank account every month to provide Co-op Radio with just a steady amount of income every week. So right now we have a song for you that we'll be leaving with. It's Pink Floyd, Shine On You. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today. And remember to be kind to the animals.
sun like the sun.